Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Amen. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 5 tonight. I'm excited about 1 Timothy, and I really anticipate when we get to 2 Timothy, because 2 Timothy is a prophetic letter that was written by Paul to Timothy. And this is a wonderful, wonderful letter, 1 Timothy. And we are going to introduce this book right now, and we need to look up here and look at what was the purpose. The purpose. Let's go. Purpose. To give an encouragement to Timothy, a young leader. Amen. Amen. And so, we all know Timothy, he had the zeal of God, the zeal of the Lord, and he had an obedient spirit. And so, before we go any further, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, God, for this wonderful evening. We thank you for this night of praise and worship unto you. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. And so, for those of you who know who the author is, let's remind ourselves that the author was Paul the Apostle. And praise God for Paul, because we all know his life and the account of Paul, because that he wasn't always called Paul. He was Saul of Tarsus. And this was a persecutor of the church. And God had to get a hold of him. Amen. And we know the story. So now, who is the audience? Who's the audience of this book for? And let's look up here. Timothy, young church leaders and all believers everywhere. So this was intended for Timothy, but you got to remember, Timothy, when he received this letter, there was things taking place in the church where Timothy was. And many believe it was in Ephesus. And so, when was this book written? Well, it was written approximately A.D. 64, possibly from Rome or Macedonia, possibly even Philippi, and probably just prior to Paul's incarceration, before he was in prison. Now, many of the wonderful teachings that came from the Apostle Paul were actually written in prison. Did you know that? Under heavy persecution, many of his writings, the Holy Spirit would come upon Paul the Apostle and inspire him to write many, many of the epistles in the New Testament. And so, let's look at the setting that took place here. Timothy was one of Paul's closest companions. Paul had sent Timothy to the church at Ephesus to encounter false teaching that had arisen there. And so this was one of the main concerns that Paul had, was that wolves will come in sheep's clothing and start teaching and preaching another gospel. And this is why when we read many of the epistles, especially in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the enemy is identified, that the enemy comes in and he sets up camp and he would spew out a different doctrine and he would try to sway the believers into believing a false doctrine. And so that was a very heavy concern for Paul the Apostle, and he had to get that letter out to Timothy, because Timothy basically was one of the pastors there in Ephesus. And in 1 Timothy 1, 3, and 4, we're going to read, as when we get to these passages, that Timothy probably served as a leader at the church of Ephesus. Paul hoped to visit Timothy, but in the meantime, he wrote this letter to give Timothy practical advice about this ministry, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at an overview of 1 Timothy, And then we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 5. Now, saints, without trying, and as we look at the Word of God, how many of you can honestly say that you tried to do your best to model the Word of God in your life? Come on. I think every one of us, once we became believers, we try to now apply the Word of God and to try our best to live out the Word of God without legalism. It's real easy to implement legalism, but the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Amen? And so parents in particular demonstrate to their children what they consider important and valuable. For instance, this beautiful little man-child who we dedicated last week, their parents are going to raise him up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Why? Because we charged them, amen? We laid hands. So now they've been instructed by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, to raise up little Judah Ben-Hur. I call him Judah Ben-Hur. And so it's very important. And so like father and like son, it's not just a well-worn cliche. It is a truth repeated in our homes. Can I get an amen? I did my best. I when I stand before God, I want to say, Lord, I did my best with our children. And so now, when they come of age, now, Lord, you take it from here. We've instilled in their hearts. We planted the Word of God. We raised them up the best way we knew how. And so now, Lord, you do the rest. You call them on your appointed time. Only you can draw them to the cross now. Hallelujah. The Bible says no one can come to the Son unless what? The Father draws. So we do our part, and God, we're asking you to do yours, God. And we know God's part. His will is that none should perish, but all come to repentance. Amen? And so experience proves that children often follow the lifestyles of their parents, repeating their successes and mistakes. Timothy, saints, is a prime example of one who was influenced by godly relatives. His mother Eunice and grandmother Lois were Jewish believers who helped shape his life and promote his spiritual growth. And we're going to see this in 2 Timothy. The first or second generation Christian mentioned in the New Testament, Timothy became Paul's protege and pastor of the church at Ephesus. And as a young minister, saints, Timothy faced all sorts of pressures and conflicts and challenges from the church and his surrounding culture. To counsel and to encourage Timothy, Paul sent this very personal letter to him. And Paul wrote in 1 Timothy in about AD 64 that we just read, probably just prior to the final Roman imprisonment, because he had appealed to Caesar. Paul was sent as a prisoner to Rome. And most scholars believe that Paul was released in about AD 62, possibly because the statute of limitation had expired, and that during the next few years, he was able then to travel. Praise God. See, God had a plan for Paul. Amen? And let me just say this. God has a plan for you. And whatever the enemy seeks out to stumble and trip you, God has a greater plan. Amen? And he will raise up a standard in your life. Oh, yes. Come on, we can go back in our past and look at all the pitfalls that even as a believer, where God came in and still rescued us. Can I get amen? And so we thank and praise God for his goodness, for the providence of God in our lives. And so during this time, saints, he wrote 1 Timothy, and also Paul wrote Titus. He wrote to Titus. And soon, however, Emperor Nero began his campaign to eliminate Christianity during this time. It is believed that during this time, Paul was in prison again and eventually executed. Now, how many of you ever read the Book of Martyrs? Man, a lot of these apostles, they had a horrendous death. It was hideous, but there was a plan in that. And I praise God for these men. Why? Because they shed their blood to make sure that we would have the Word of God 2,000 years later. And I can't wait. You know, we sung that song tonight, you know, heaven. Well, when we get there, we will see all these characters that we've read about, that we've learned about, that we tried to do our best to apply the application of the Word of God in our lives that they wrote down. I can't wait. How many of you can't wait to see Paul and see Titus and see Timothy? I want to see these guys, but I want to see Jesus. I want to see him first, amen? I want to see the God who created me, who created you. And so Paul's first letter to Timothy affirms their relationship. And we can read that in 1 Timothy. And Paul begins his fatherly advice, warning Timothy about false teachers and urging him, saints, to hold on to his faith in Christ. Let me just say this. The enemy comes in and he camouflages and it looks like the real deal, but it's actually a counterfeit. Did you know that in supermarkets and department stores, they make the employees that work especially in cash registers and handling the money, they basically don't look at all the different kind of counterfeits. They make them study the original. So when they're looking at the original monetary dollars and coins, they study it so hard so that now when there's a counterfeit coming, they spot it right away. This is not. This is why you need to know the Word of God. Amen. This is why you need to be in Bible study. This is why you need to be plugged in and being raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Why? Because faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And so he pleaded with them. Next, Paul considers public worship, emphasizing the importance of prayer and order in church meetings. This leads to a discussion of qualifications of church leaders, elders, and deacons. Here, Paul lists specific criteria for each office. Now, once again, we're going over an overview of what we're going to be in the next month or so in 1 Timothy. But Paul, he emphasizes and he speaks about false teachers, telling Timothy how to recognize them and how to respond to them. Next, he gives practical advice on pastoral care to the young and also to the old, and the widows and the elders, and even those which the Bible referred to as slaves, but actually servants. Did you know that you're a slave to Christ? Come on. Oh, yes. How many are so blessed to be a slave of Christ? Amen. You know why? Because we used to be a slave to the devil. Oh, that's right. Before we got saved, before the Holy Ghost came, before we were changed from the inside out, we were serving the devil. Oh, yes, we were. And God came. He came, and man, I'm telling you, he did a mighty work in our life. Can I get an amen? Did you know that until God gives you a mind to be saved and a heart to repent, you're not going anywhere. You're at a standstill in life. You're with the world. But man, when he enables you to come, thank you, God. Man, then he does the supernatural work. Hallelujah. He's the one that draws you to the cross. That's right. He draws you to the cross. And he gives you the desire to come to him. Ask yourself this, saints, prior to the day you got saved. How many can remember the day when you gave your heart to Christ? I can. I remember that day like if it was yesterday. It wasn't a gradual thing where, I'm a Christian. No, man, it happened right at that day where God did a supernatural work. But prior to that, man, I was a rebel without a cause. Oh, yeah. I'm so blessed that my son never saw my BC years. I'm so blessed. I believe when I got saved, my son was about 4. My daughter was about 7. And praise God, I'm glad my son never saw my BC years. All he's ever seen me is serving the Lord by the grace of God. But that's God's grace. That's God's mercy. And we serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so, saints, Paul, he even concludes by exhorting Timothy to guard his motives. Did you know that sometimes our motives can get in our way? Our agendas can get in God's way? Oh, yes. To stand firm in the faith, to live above reproach. This was part of the theme of this letter. And to minister faithfully. 1 Timothy holds many lessons. If you are a church leader, take note of Paul's relationship with the young disciple, his careful counsel and guidance. This is what Paul was demonstrating to Timothy, this young pastor. And I like to say it like this. You can be physically down the road as an elder, but new in Christ, you're considered young in the Lord. Can I get amen? It's the day that God calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's when it starts from that moment on. Amen? And so I know some wonderful people of God who got saved in their 40s, got saved in their 50s, and now they're still on fire for the Lord. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. And so he goes on to say, measure yourself against the qualifications that Paul gives overseers and deacons. So if you are young in the faith, follow the example of godly Christians, leaders like Timothy. So when we read this book, when we break down the scriptures, there's a theme to it. And what it boils down to is obedience. It's adhering to the truth of God, to the word of God, and now applying it to your lives and working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And how many believe that once God seals you, you are sealed until the redemption? Come on. Come on, you're sealed until the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ comes for us. Amen? Thank you, God. And that seal, no one can pry it open. Thank you, God. God seals you by the Lord Jesus Christ through the blood. Amen? And so, saints, we're going to look now at number one, Paul. Let's go one more time. Verse one, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Jesus is our hope. Saints, apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos, meaning one who is sent. Paul, an apostle, appointed personally by Christ Jesus himself. His commission to this position came directly from God on the road to Damascus. Aren't you so blessed, hallelujah, that Saul of Tarsus was knocked off his beast. Thank you, God. But one of the things that Paul became a humble servant, and he didn't want to take on any accolades. He didn't want people to pat him on the back. Oh, man, look what I'm doing now. Matter of fact, when he came into cities and towns, they all kind of like were hesitant about him. Why? Because this is the one that was persecuting the church. So they were leery when he came in. But the anointing of God, the power of God, and the word that he spoke calmed their hearts. Look how he says in 1 Corinthians 9 and 1. He says, I am an apostle, God's messenger, responsible to no mere man. I am one who has actually seen Jesus, our Lord, with my own eyes. And your changed lives are the result of my hard work for him. If in the opinion of others, I am not an apostle, I am certainly what? To you, for you have been won to Christ through me. This is my answer to those who question my rights. See, you got to remember, wherever Paul was and the letters he wrote, a lot of them were still had a guard in their heart toward him. And so there were times that he had to explain himself and he had to identify who he is in Christ now. Thank you, God. And in the same book of Corinthians in chapter 15, look what he says. Last of all, look at this. Last of all, I saw him too, long after the others, as though I had been born almost too late for this. For, look at this. This is his humility now. For I am the least worthy of all the apostles. Remember, there was the original 12, one fell away. And then later on, Jesus appointed him to be apostle, one who was sent by God. And he says right here, for I am the least worthy of all the apostles, and I shouldn't even be called an apostle at all after the way I persecuted the church. And so we have to understand that when he opens up this letter to Timothy, he addressed it. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God and our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. So he had to explain his position in Christ. And many of us who God has called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Did you know that God, through the providence of God, has positioned you right where you're at, where you're living, your family members, your friends, those on the job? Did you know you're not there by accident? God has called you for such a time as this to be a light before them. There's not a mistake with God. Can I get an amen? And so I love how Paul had to address the issue here. Why? Because he was at one time condemning and persecuting the church. Since the title apostle was basically reserved for certain followers of Christ and had accomplished Jesus, accompanied Jesus and had seen the risen Lord, Paul presented this important credential of apostleship in most of his letters as a foundation for what? His instructions. Paul expected to be heard because he represented Jesus Christ. And so Paul calls God our Savior. Did you know that every time he mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ, he always used the word Savior? Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Why? Because he knows how radically he was saved. And how many of you can go back and testify how radically you were saved? Every moment and opportunity I get, I want to share how God radically saved me. Why? Because there might be someone in the same type of bondage I was in. And now you can share the hope of Christ. You can let them know about our God and Savior, the one that can save. Can I get an amen? And so Paul calls our God and Savior. He uses the phrase Savior 6 times in the letters to Timothy and Titus. Look how he addresses this in 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. And then in chapter 2, look at this. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our who? Savior. Always identifying the Lord as Savior. And then in chapter 4, look at this. For to the end, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the what? Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. And then he writes to Titus, Paul does, in Titus 1:3, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our who? Savior. Man, he drills it in. He's emphasizing who the Lord is. And then Titus 2:10, it says, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that we may adorn the doctrine of our God and Savior in all things. And then he emphasizes it one more time in chapter 3 of Titus. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. And so in that verse of scripture, in the opening of the letter of Timothy, he emphasized who the Lord God was. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so let's go now to verse 2. To Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Saints, Paul addressed many of his letters to the churches across the Roman Empire. And these letters were meant to be read aloud to all the believers. And this letter, although written to Timothy, was also meant to be read to the entire congregation at the church in Ephesus. Oh, yes, it was. And also beyond. Because in verse 3 of 1 Timothy, it says, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may what? Charge some that teach no other doctrine. So now Paul is emphasizing to young Timothy, there's going to be wolves coming in. Let me ask you this question. Has a wolf come to your door since you've been living at your place, at your residence? Come on. Some of them have badges that say Elder So-and-so, riding 10 speeds. Some of them have nice suits. And they have a family, kids. They got these leather bags coming to your door. And they're passing out a magazine called Watchtower. Hey, those false teachers are still here. Oh, yes, they are. They're still here. Nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in the faith. So even then, there were some bickering going on. Even then, they had divisional walls of doctrinal issues. And it's still today. You got the Baptists over here. You got the United Methodists over here. You got the all these different denominations. And nothing's changed in 2,000 years, has it? It's still the same. You got Pentecostals, and then you got oneness Pentecostals, and they both claim to have the Holy Ghost, but says, no, I can't fellowship with you because your doctrine ain't right. And that's how it is today. I can't wait till Jesus comes. You know why? Because there ain't going to be no divisional walls anymore. Can I get amen? We're all going to be one in Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And so, 1 Timothy has been called the first of the pastoral epistles mentioned throughout both letters. All of Paul's letters express pastoral concerns, but these three relate specifically to local church issues. Paul and Timothy had developed a special bond like father and son. And so, saints, Paul probably led Timothy to the Lord. We don't know this for certain. And so he was a true child in the faith. Paul used grace and peace as a standard in greeting in all of his letters. Thank you, God. However, it is only in his letters to Timothy that he used mercy. So when we read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, Paul always uses mercy. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed that God had mercy on us? Man, I look back. In my BC years, man, there was much mercy given to me. When that custodian at Horizon led me to Christ, $500 of crystal meth in my sock, come on. All drugged up, tore, I like to say it, Brother G style, toe up from the flow up. I was. And he had mercy. God had mercy on you, amen. We serve the God that is so merciful. Even with these horrendous storms, he was still merciful in the storm. Can I get amen? There could have been so many perished. He was merciful. You know, our material things come and go, but our lives, they don't come and go. We got one shot here. Can I get an amen? God's merciful, very merciful. So that was one of his themes in 1 and 2 Timothy, mercy. Why? Because mercy carries it with the Old Testament picture of God's loving kindness. God's mercy helps us day by day. Can I get an amen? Bible says in Psalms, when we wake up in the morning, new mercies are given to you and I. Paul knew that Timothy was facing a difficult situation in Ephesus. So he added the word mercy. Why? To reassure Timothy of God's protection and guidance. By using this phrase, saints, God and our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, Paul pointed to Jesus as a full person of the Godhead. Thank you, God. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is all part of the Godhead. Can I get an amen? Man, but there's denominations will fight you over that. You know what? It's not about, man, just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, and mind. Can I get amen? Amen. Man, but they will try to pull. Man, I'm telling you, God is good. I'm so blessed. I was in a church long ago, man. If you didn't think like them, you were lost. And if you didn't look like them, you were lost. And if you didn't dress and talk like them, you were lost. That's not the Lord. I'm so blessed. Hallelujah. Bible says, come as you are. I'll receive you just like how you are, and I'll raise you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Thank you, God. But God and the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, are co-equal in providing the reassurance of grace, mercy, and peace. Paul recognized the full deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look now at verse 3 in 1 Timothy chapter 1. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So this was the opening emphasis of this letter. You know, he could have said, you know, grace, mercy, love. You know, he could have talked about many other doctrinal issues. But the main concern was false teachers. False teachers. And this is why pastors throughout this country and pastors throughout the world, did you know that we have a more higher accountability on what we teach over the pulpit? And one of the things that I truly believe that has held many good, loving Christians in bondage is the prosperity gospel. You can flush that down the toilet. Come on, I've seen the shenanigans. Oh, I want to see a $100 line over here, a $50 line over here. You know, just, oh, it's 2017. Write a check for 2017. The Lord spoke to me last night. Listen, you get that kind of shenanigans in here, please don't come back. You're not going to find that here. Amen. That's false doctrine, and it's prevalent. It's prevalent. And they try to fleece you in giving them all that you have, and God's going to bless you. And you still are looking for that caddy to show up in the garage. And it's still a VW bug. Oh, but keep sowing. False doctrine. Saints, Paul visited Ephesus on his second missionary journey. And so he says, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that teach no other doctrine. And so Paul, in Acts 18, let's look at this real quick. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and called for Syria, Priscilla and Aquila were with him. And he had his hair cut there at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And then he came to what? Ephesus. And so later, saints, on his third missionary journey, he stayed there for almost 3 years. And we can read this in the book of Acts, chapter 19. Ephesus was long away from Rome and Corinth and Antioch and Alexandria and was a major city in the Roman Empire. Paul left Timothy in the troubled Ephesian church while he traveled on to Macedonia. And then wrote to his young protege from there. So this is why he sent, listen, I need you to have this letter. Why? Because ravenous wolves are going to come in. And they're going to teach you something that I didn't teach you. Oh, yes. And so he was concerned because he was young in the faith. This is why it's real careful, especially with new saints. Man, be careful what you hear and what you see and what you read. Can I get an amen? Because you could get swayed easily. Oh, man, that looks good. And, you know, I see a lot of lights flashing over there. But guess what? A lot of it's glitter and no glory. That's all it is glitter. Oh, it looks good. Oh, wow. But there's no glory. There's no substance. The Word of God. You ever been to a church where no scriptures barely used? They'll just use maybe one scripture, and then they go on to a tangent. Oh, yeah. They'll take the mic and just say, wow. And the Bible is left behind. I get up and walk. I said, no, man, you know what? My spirit needs the Word. I don't need your opinion. I need God's Word to edify me. Amen? I need God's Word to be instilled in me. And when you preach the Scriptures, then my spirit can be a witness. Because when you leave the Word of God outside of your mindset, now you're allowing your own interpretation and shenanigans to take place. And God gives a high accountability to those who consider themselves preachers of the gospel. So Paul gave Timothy a difficult task. It seems that the rather timid disciple may have been reluctant, for Paul gave strong commands and loving encouragement at the same time to young Timothy. He was to be undaunted and intimidated by those teachers who would probably be older men. And we're going to get to chapter 4 on this, who they're identifying. And we're teaching wrong doctrine. That is doctrine other than the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles and the Old Testament. The English word doctrine came to mean the central true saints or principles of a philosophy or religion. Paul used the term in writing to Timothy to refer to the unchanging truths of the gospel. No one was at liberty to change that doctrine. And none of us are at liberty to change that doctrine. Can I get an amen? When you start implementing your own theory contrary to the word of God, now you are teaching and preaching heresy. And this is why this letter was sent to this church. And guess what? It still applies to us today. Amen? Now, there's nothing wrong being charismatic. I have a problem when you're charismania, barking and howling like a dog and plucking like a chicken. Come on, man. We're supposed to be what? Restrained by the Holy Ghost. God's in control. He's in total control. But I've seen shenanigans in churches. I won't speak of their names. But man, I said, man, is that really God? Man, you have to fall that hard on your head? God is a good God. And He's merciful. Amen? He's an awesome God. Yes, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I believe in praying in heavenly languages and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But man, there's also order. Can I get an amen? There's an order to things. Sunday night, for those of you that were here, there was a handful of us in here. And it was just simple praying unto God. And Pastor T, did the Holy Ghost come and meet us? Man, the Holy Ghost came in, and man, we were just in His presence. It was like awestruck. Listen, when He comes in your presence, man, it's like, Lord, I'm not even worthy. It was like, I'm not even worthy to be in your presence when He comes. And you know when He's in your presence. Your spirit ignites. It means the Spirit of God ignites in your being. And you're just overflowing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And when you're born again of the Spirit of God, you can experience that with Him. It's like, I'd rather be in His presence than anything else on this earth. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. So let's look at verse 4 in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Then he goes on to say, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, what? Which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. You ever had debates with people that were maybe of other denominations? And man, they just try to tear you down or tear you up. And you know, and it doesn't glorify, it doesn't edify. It doesn't. It just brings confusion. And he's saying, don't give glory in all that. Why? Because it doesn't edify. It's fables. It's like fairy tales. Saints, what were these myths and spiritual pedigrees? There were two possibilities. Number one, the church at Ephesus may have been troubled by the same type of heresy that threatened the church at Colossae, the teaching that to be acceptable to God, a person had to discover a certain hidden knowledge and had to worship angels. So they were worshiping angels at that time. Oh, yes. But Paul had to write. And he had to correct. Look at this in Colossians. Look at this in Colossians 2:8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. According what to the tradition of men. According to the basic principles of the world. And not according to Christ. And look at in verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and what? Worshiping of angels. They were worshiping angels. We're not to worship angels. Now, do they come into the presence of the Lord? Yes. Some have even been seen by them. But you're not to worship them. You are to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? God created them for purpose. And there's also demons. So there's only angels of light and angels of darkness. But he says right here, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those which he has, what? Not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. You got to be careful, man, what folks say to you. Can I get an amen? This was a warning from Paul to the church. Here's another possibility, number two. Thinking that it would aid in their salvation, some Ephesians constructed mythical stories based on Old Testament history or genealogies. Perhaps they placed too much emphasis on Jewish writing, such as the Book of Jubilees. Now, there's all kinds of mysticism our friends are into. They're into the Kabbalah. Listen, if Madonna's into Kabbalah, you know what? You know there's something wrong. Something very wrong. Can I get amen? Yes. Be careful, I'm telling you. Listen, I love the traditions. I love to celebrate the feast of the Lord. But when you start bringing mysticism in it, man, exit stage left. Amen? Yes. That's when you said, no, I'm sorry. That doesn't line up with God's word. You see, saints, these myths and pedigrees only serve to promote arguments and lead to discussion about ideas that did not come from Scripture, but from the minds of false teachers. So this was early on in 1 Timothy. It was an emphasis that he need to address to Timothy as a young pastor. And so be careful, saints. Paul even wrote to Titus in 3 and 9. Look at this. But avoid foolish what? Conversations, genealogies, arguments, and quarrels about the law, because these things are pointless and worthless. They're just worthless. You're arguing about nothing. You know, one brother I love, I'm not going to mention his name, you know, and it was about either Trinitarian or oneness, Trinitarian or oneness, splitting hairs, all saying the same thing, but splitting hairs. And one believed that if you didn't believe like them, you were lost. I said, what? Did you call me out of darkness into your marvelous light? Are you the one that filled me with the Holy Ghost? Are you the one that changed my life? Or is this your mindset? There was no answer to that. I said, let's just rest our case. Until someone says, I saved you and I filled you, then you know what? Take heed to that. But I'm sorry, there's only one that saves. Can I get an amen? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And only he can fill you with the Holy Ghost. And only he can pull you out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. I've learned throughout the scriptures that there's a relationship that the Lord had with his Father. And he does. It's plain. It's plain as day. And so he did. When he went to the garden, he said, Father, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It's throughout Scripture. And people will fight you. Go ahead. I'm not gonna argue with you because you didn't save me. You go on thinking like that. Go on with yourself. I know that God saved me. Hallelujah. He has appointed me, and he has appointed you. Can I get an amen? You remember when you got saved. You were filled with joy, unspeakable, and full of glory, and you didn't know anything about doctrine. Oh, you was just happy you were saved. Thank you, Lord. Come on. You were so glad when the joy came and flooded your heart with his grace. So this in turn, saints, did not help people live a life of faith in God. Why? Because it took valuable time away from the teaching the truth of the scripture and spreading these heresy type of gospels. Therefore, Paul urged Timothy to remain in Ephesus instead of traveling on with him in order, what? To stifle the false teachers who are motivated by their own interests rather than Christ. And we're going to look at our last verse of scripture. Let's go on to the next. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. This is what Paul's theme was as well, was that the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. And that's what God's looking at in our lives today. Can I get an amen? That you walk in sincerity in a pure heart, that there would be no motives behind anything, no agendas. Did you know it's real easy? It's real easy to have an agenda. And yet God will then, later on, manifest that agenda. Oh, yes. Why? Because the Holy Ghost will reveal these things. And so Paul, he expanded his instructions to Timothy by reminding him and anyone else who would read the letter that the correction of the false teachers would do them good and not harm. The false teachers were motivated by mere curiosity and a desire to gain prestige as intellectuals. In contrast, saints, genuine Christian teachers, they should be filled with love. Can I get an amen? You ever come across someone, man, that they just ignore you, and they're mean. And they walk and talk mean, and they'll say, praise the Lord. Have no love, no compassion. Can't even give you a hug. Can't say, hey, praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, sister. I've been to some churches right after the service is over. You don't even see that man no more. He escapes out the back door. He don't even mingle with the saints. You wonder what the agenda is. And so there are three sources of real love, and then we'll close. Number one, it's right in the Word. Matthew says right here, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When you're walking in the purity of the Spirit of God and the love of God, the grace of God and the mercy of God, that's when you're going to see God. And guess what? That's when people who are unbelievers will see God in you. The hope of glory. Saints, a pure heart is devoted to God and free from guilt and corruption. We must keep ourselves morally straight. God purifies us, but there is action we must take to keep morally fit. Can I get an amen? Daily application of God's word was a purifying effect on our heart and mind. It enables us to love freely. And number two, in order to love properly, our dear conscience must be clear. Man, if you got all kinds of junk in your head, if there's all kinds of things that are more important rather than the things of the Lord, that is going to interfere in your walk with Christ. Your heart has to be clear. Your conscience must be clear. 1 Peter 3:16 says, and keep a good conscience. Look at that. So that in the thing in which you are, slandered in, those who revile you and good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. So when you're walking upright before God, it don't matter what comes your way. The Lord Jesus Christ will allow you to rise above that. Can I get an amen? And God will expose them. Look at 2 Timothy 1 and 3. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Saints, our conscience must be clean from unconfessed sin so that guilt doesn't hinder us. Can I get an amen? Listen, every day we should be saying, God, cleanse me, wash me, thank you. Listen, he's already forgiven you for the original sin, but we still walk around. We still get tainted. Can I get an amen? We still get downtrodden by the cares and the affairs of this world. And this is why we need to walk in a repentant heart with a clear conscience toward God. Why? Because when I encounter my brother and sister, I don't want to see them. I have them see me like this. Woe is me. Oh, woe is me. Man, I want to be ready. Can I pray for you? How can I lift you up? What can I do to serve you? But when they see you beaten up and tore up, man, and just like worthless, now you're walking contrary to the Word of God. Oh, God, help us tonight. And so we need to have our conscience cleared without any guilt. Listen, are we going to soil our pants as a believer? Yes, we're all going to, every now and then, stumble. But Bible says, pick yourself up. Can I get an amen? Wash yourself. Confess your sin unto God. He will cleanse you and wash you and keep moving forward. The enemy wants to keep you down. Oh, man, you've done it now. Done what? No, God has cleansed me and washed me, and I confess that sin, Lord, and allow me to keep going, God. As long as we live in this body of flesh, we live in a vessel that's imperfected. Can I get amen? But we strive for perfection. We look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. There's a prize to obtain. Can I get an amen? And when you're in that race, you keep running. You just keep running to win the race. And it's okay if someone gets there before you. You just want to cross that goal line. Amen? You want to cross that finish line. And thirdly, right up here, when we attempt to love others without sincere faith in Christ, our efforts to minister become hollow and self-serving. If you're laden down and burdened down, I'm sorry, you're going to be ineffective to pray for your brother or sister. Your prayers will just be so hindered. Why? Because your mind focuses on you and not them. Sincere faith enables us to love genuinely. 1 Thessalonians 3:6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. This is how you and I, saints, by the grace of God, when God wakes us up in the morning, that we would clothe ourselves, hallelujah, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And say, God, this day is a new day. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. You give us one day at a time. So when we rise in that morning, let that day be a day of significance in your life. Yeah, you got to go to work. Yeah, some of you got to go to school. Yeah, some of you have to serve at home and raise up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But anticipate something great to take place every day. God will bring divine appointments. Someone that maybe is just needing just to hear from God. And here you are right in their path. And you're able to pray with them. And able to edify them. Able to speak truth in them. Able to lift them up. Whose countenance has fallen. Who the enemy of this world has basically mauled them and attacked them. And here you come along, like the good Samaritan, to come along and bound up and bind up their wounds and pray for them. Amen? And so this was a very interesting introductory to Timothy. As we get into the book, we're going to go into a little greater detail. But I noticed the first thing was false teachers, and then also he got into having a clear conscience and a clear mind and a pure heart. And so tonight, all God is reminding us is his grace is sufficient. His mercy endures forever. And if we continue to strive, if we continue to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, what he has set out to do in the days that we live in, you and I will be used in the hand, in his hand, and then we can look up and glorify him and magnify him and exalt his holy name. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, God, for this evening. We thank you for this introduction of 1 Timothy, God. Lord, I'm praying, God, Lord, that you would continue to work mightily in our lives. We thank you, God, that while we were all yet sinners, you died for us. And Lord, many of us at one time didn't know that we would be called to the cross that we had to die to self, that you would come and intersect our life. We were all headed to a road of destruction, and you came and crossed our path because it was the providence of God, the foreknowledge and the wisdom of God, that before you spoke the whole entire universe into existence, you already knew our name. Lord, we marvel. We marvel on how you have chosen us and how you have saved us. But right now, I'm praying for that person, maybe more than one person, that's never given their heart to you, God. And maybe somehow they stumbled onto our website, or maybe someone said, hey, listen to this message. And maybe, just maybe, you're that person right now that's listening, that God is giving you now a mind to be saved and a heart to repent. And now, for the first time, you're probably hearing a voice that you never heard before, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ calling you to a place of repentance. And so if that's you right now, and now God has your attention, we want to pray with you. But know that the prayer does not save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. Prayer is just a tool that we use here on earth, as sinful as we are, to communicate with the Holy God. You have given us that tool of prayer, and we want to pray with you now. And maybe, just maybe, God is quickening you now. He's making you come alive. And now you want to surrender your heart to the Lord. And so pray this simple prayer, and we'll pray it with you. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God praise and glory in the house. Is he worthy? God is worthy. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the-